स्पाइस रेडियो और रेडियो रिमझिम सुन रहे हैं। हम गपशप का प्रोग्राम है और हमारे आज के इस कार्यक्रम में डॉक्टर रॉबर्ट शार्प हमारे साथ हैं जो कि क्रिटिकल केयर फिजिशियन हैं। और अगर आप उनसे कोई सवाल पूछना चाहते हो तो बड़े शौक से, हमारे पास कोई अबाउट 10 मिनट हैं जिसमें कि आप पूछ सकते हैं, लेकिन हमारे पास कुछ सवाल हैं जो कि हम डॉक्टर शार्प से पूछेंगे। डॉक्टर शार्प, वेलकम बैक इनटू द प्रोग्राम अगेन।
थैंक यू।
सो अ प्रोफाइल ऑफ अ पर्सन हु वुड बी इन क्रिटिकल केयर।
So, for cardiac critical care, we see it runs quite a gamut. It ranges from the individual who has come in, has had a routine coronary artery bypass graft. In other words, they've had some blockages in their heart. They were felt to best benefit from a surgical intervention. They meet our anesthesiologists, who are wonderful people. They meet our surgeons, who are equally wonderful people. They have the surgery, and then we watch them afterwards for issues of blood pressure control, of their heart function overall, of their lung function, and our nurses are just absolutely phenomenal at nursing them through and making sure that they are doing well until such time as they are ready for discharge to the wards, where they are likewise taken good care of by the nurses. In the critical care environment, they have one-to-one nursing. There is one nurse dedicated to the patient, sitting there at the bedside at all times, watching their monitors, watching their blood pressure, watching their heart rate, watching their oxygen amount that are floating around in their blood, their oxygen saturation, and alerting the physician, the critical care physician, if they feel that there are any problems. And we work beautifully as a team that way. There are a group of respiratory therapists who are phenomenal as well, who take care of the ventilation, making sure that they're breathing well, making sure, again, that the oxygen saturation is good, that they're getting enough of the carbon dioxide blown off, that all of those things are going well, and that the patient is recovering appropriately from surgery. And if that person does well, the plan is by the next day they will have left our critical care services, go off to the ward, spend a few days on the ward, maybe 4 days on the ward, and then go home. Our physiotherapists take excellent care of them, making sure that they are ready to be mobilized again. Our team of nutritionists, our team of registered dietitians ensure that they have the information that they need before leaving the hospital, but also that they are adequately nourished to get their health back and their strength back in hospital. And so, effectively, none of us work in isolation. It is a team. It is a wonderful team that works well together. It works beautifully together. But that is the most straightforward of cases, and even that requires a lot of intensive care. And it ranges from that to someone who is just, for want of a better term, effectively at death's door when they come to us, and those people can be on in incredible amounts of support. Things to keep their heart going, things to force their heart to keep going, and some of those supports are chemical. We run them on things that are effectively like being on drips of adrenaline continuously, or in some situations they can be mechanical. If we really need to, we can take blood out of the system, run it through a very specialized machine, oxygenate it, and do all the things that the heart and the lungs are not succeeding in doing, but those are absolutely the sickest of our sick patients.
When people, British Columbia is such a place where majority of the people love to be outside, go hiking. This morning we were talking about a couple that were lost in Mount Seymour or something.
That's
like
right,
that.
But there has been phone communication. They haven't been traced yet, but there has been phone communication.
So person, if they had a fall, probably in an area like that, and are then airlifted to the hospital, now that would constitute maybe their situation, broken leg or, you know, bruised lungs or heart or something like that. They would then be transported to critical care, I guess.
It depends. It depends on the nature of the injury. So the non-cardiac critical care area, so we've got the CSICU, or the Cardiac Services Intensive Care Unit, and then we have the main medical surgical intensive care unit. Some people do certainly come in who are badly dehydrated or subject to severe trauma, as you have alluded, and those people definitely would end up in our critical care services, again requiring various types of support, but it ranges from that to people who come in with horrifying infections and need to be supported from that standpoint. Sometimes people have complications of normal surgery. Some people come in with complications of pregnancy. Right. Our hospital, the Royal Columbian Hospital as a whole, is I think it is one of the best places to work from that standpoint, because we have cardiac services, we have trauma services, we are the trauma service for the region, mm-hmm. we have obstetrics and gynecology, we have a high-level nursery to take care of sick infants once they are born, we have orthopedic surgery, we have general surgery, we have neurosurgery mm-hmm. to do brain surgery on people, we have all of these different things. So if you have more than one system that has a problem, we are the ideal place to come to be taken care of, because we can deal with just about everything.
Royal Columbian Hospital Foundation has been trying to raise funds for their newer places. So what is on your wish list?
Oh, dear. longer term, we were hoping to... We do have big plans for a build, but that's on the long-term side. our cardiac catheterization lab certainly needs some upgrading. We see a huge volume. We're doing on the order of, I think it's 3,100 diagnostic catheterizations annually, and some 2,300 angioplasties, that is to say, opening up the vessels. We could decidedly use an update in all of our equipment as far as that goes, just bringing things up. I won't say that anything is antiquated. That's far from the truth. We're functioning quite well, but we could use some updates, definitely, in the cardiac catheterization lab.
So when you look at all the equipment that is being made, we once in a while talk to Dr. Raj Atariwala, who is an engineer, a doctor of engineering, and a doctor and a radiologist, and he works on MRI machines, and so we find out that there are improvements in those equipment as well. So you guys in your profession must look at equipment that is better than what you guys are using right now. How frequently does equipment upgrades happen?
Oh, all the time. All the time upgrades are happening to equipment. The basic process of how things happen in cardiac catheterization or in cardiac surgery remains the same. But okay. It's all a question of, just like you might go and get the newest Apple iPhone that makes things a little bit more simple, or you might get the newest computer that just makes the image that much more clear, the same thing happens in medicine. There is something that can make your job easier, can reduce risk to the patient by foolproofing something, as it were, or can just make an image pop that much better by having a clearer picture. All of those things help. They may not be leaps and bounds. The leaps and bounds do happen, for sure, but those are every few years kind of thing. But on a monthly basis, things are being updated that can just make things easier and make it safer for the treatment of the patients.
How do you find out what's at the cutting edge and you want it?
Trial and error. Truthfully, we have people who come by the hospital on a regular basis and try and sell us their wares, as it were. But we also have members of our divisions who go out to other hospitals and see how other places are doing it, and sort of realize, if we had that, things might go a little bit more smoothly for our patients. So we should probably upgrade at this point. And we've gotten a little bit behind, but it's the financial status of the Ministry of Health is beyond my scope to comment on right at the moment.
How many patients do you deal with on a daily basis?
We have beds available for 10 patients, critically ill patients, that is to say. That's not counting the non-critically ill patients. There's far, far more of those who go through the cath lab on a daily basis. As I said, there's on the order of about 3,100 diagnostic catheterizations that are happening mm-hmm. daily. We're doing about 4 open heart surgeries, which is a lot daily.
Right.
4 coronary artery bypass graft patients a day. Dealing with a total of about 950 cases a year of just surgery, let alone the cath lab. So it's quite a number. I can't say that we couldn't use more room in the cardiac services intensive care unit as well, because we are occasionally kind of stuffed, as it were. But
and if people wanted to donate to Royal Columbian Hospital Foundation so that you guys could have the best equipment, the best for patients. I think we are working towards that, and that sort of an information can be found on the website.
Indeed, and we appreciate it very, very much. We are extraordinarily grateful for all that you guys have done for us in the past, and extremely grateful for anything you might do for us in the future.
And that's our duty. We have to do it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sharp, for coming to our studios. Have I left anything that you might want to add at the end?
No, I think that's been quite thorough.
Thank you so much.